days ago.
That's what I was just wondering. It's like, how did you know?
I listened to the last recording 2 days ago, and that came up in the chit chat. So I said, oh, let's write that down.
How about that?
I was impressed, Michelle.
It's there forever. Can't forget. That's great.
Exactly. Well, I would be interested in looking a little bit today, if you guys are amenable to this, at the little table that I had made up where we listed all the concepts that we had talked about and that we'd defined in the four sections of the Lit Review, and then I listed the 18 questions and tried to see which question gets at which concept. Did anybody get a chance to look at that? It was on like page 6 or 7 of the paper I sent out.
Yeah.
Yep. Thank you very much for doing it, Michelle.
I'm not sure. I thought it might be a good starting point.
I think that's a good idea. I bet I got back late and haven't gotten to my email yet. I'm the caller now.
So I actually started reading through the paper earlier today to prepare for the talk. So I have a whole bunch of kind of small suggestions, comments at the beginning.
Okay. Well.
So
you want to should we get them out of the way first?
Well, no. Actually, my thought was that maybe, in terms of who's taking notes on what needs to do, maybe if it's okay, I'll take notes on the working copy that I have. That way, all the comments are in there together, and then I can send out this draft to everybody else.
Perfect.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this discussion is the crucial one to happen first, but I just so we don't have like 6 copies of it floating around, all with different changes and everything.
That sounds great.
So, I mean, I would start off by saying this is, the paper is really shaping up. This is looking fantastic. So, thank you, Michelle and Tisha, for moving that along.
It's been Michelle last month.
It's only taken us, what, a year?
Yeah.
It's taken us a while, but it's getting there.
It's getting there. Progress is good.
It's almost ready to even show people. That's what I think. But.
Whoa. Well, you want to start with your comments, Michael?
I'm actually happy. I mean, they were just like really small wording stuff and suggestions and a couple small changes. I'd rather actually make sure we deal with the big stuff.
Okay.
Changes are really just like something that someone can, you know, choose to accept or not or incorporate. And, you know, I started just changing a few formats to follow the JSC format. That's, you know, I don't even know if we wanted to go that route, but if we're submitting it to JSC, we eventually have to do that anyway, so.
Right.
Okay. Let me just ask you, did you by any chance get the Bessonero reference?
I looked for it in a couple different places, and I couldn't find the reference that linked to the information you were talking about. So I need to do a little more reading on, like, what exactly that reference was.
Okay.
You know, I looked through, like, the whole SMAR report, and I looked through other of Bottanero's work, and I just couldn't find the one that matched the statement that
we
made.
Yeah, me neither. I had tried looking at a couple things of hers, too, and I didn't find it. And I thought, well, maybe I think that section was you wrote. So
I looked through my stuff as well, and I didn't save, like, the PDF of it. So, so either we you know, quoted too liberally, and she didn't really say that, even though we interpreted it, or we just didn't find the reference yet. So I need to go through that and look at it again.
Okay. So if we can go maybe down to, I think it's on, let's see, page 7 or 8. Page 8. Okay, great. So what I tried to do was go through what the list that we had said for prereq concepts for each of the more detailed concepts for each of sampling distribution, variability sampling, and distribution, and then tried to associate those with the various questions. And so I don't know if any, do you all have a copy of the 18 questions as well?
Yes. You had
it. So they're not listed in that order in this document. It's just the other document you sent. Is that right?
I think I sent them out a while ago.
The second document, current WISE online.
Did I
think you attached it to the same email that you sent the Lit Review draft.
Yeah, so it's the other file in the same email. Gotcha.
Okay.
Yep. There you go.
Got it?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I found it.
Dale, did you get everything?
I think I have everything. My computer's a little slow here trying to open it, so.
Okay.
Keep on going. Just
a quickie aside, Dale, I had sent, when I sent this out, I can't remember, I guess it was like Sunday night or something, I got an email message back that it couldn't be delivered to your mail, and so Michael then forwarded it from his.
Right, I found so it. If I looked under your name and didn't find it, but I found it under his. Did it say why you couldn't have it when taken?
No, it just says unreturned mail, mail delivery error, unreturned mail.
Well, I'm
sorry. I mean, undelivered mail.
Dale, I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Oh.
You
oh,
too.
I'm sorry that my email is so rude. I really don't intend that.
But it seems like my email was rude for a while to Michelle, and now your email is rude to Michelle. Tisha, your
mine's
turn.
Mine's always
next.
Been nice.
Talk to your IT.
Yeah, Tisha's always been nice. Yours is it's a gender thing.
Maybe. I don't know. How to figure.
Okay, so looking at this table for a bit, just below the table, there's also what the concepts are in more detail. So the first four have to do with, which I end up labeling them 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4, et cetera, to correspond to the different tables in the lit review. So the first five concepts are all related to sampling distributions. And the questions that we have that are related to sampling distributions are actually the last three questions, questions 16, 17, and 18.
The listings of the 1.1, 1.2, those are the same as the tables up above, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And all I've done is just below the table with the cross with the X's in it, I've actually summarized it to one big table, the details of what's in all those other tables in our paper, just for quick reference here.
Right.
So you don't have to be scrolling back and forth. And if we see what we had officially as the questions on sampling distributions were questions 16, 17, and 18. Those are the ones that we thought were sampling distribution questions. Now, when I looked at tried to look at these concepts in detail relative to those questions. If I look at question 16, which is the one where you've got one X that represents a single observation from one sample and the other X represents the sample mean from a sample of size 3, and we ask, is there a difference between the two X's? Now, when I look at the concepts as we've detailed them, that one seems to me to be more related to 4.1, which is correctly reading graphical, directly reading graphs, and 4.3. In concept 4.3, we've written that students should be able to distinguish between the distribution of a population and the distribution of a sample statistic. Similarly, students should be able to distinguish between the sampling distribution and the distribution of a sample of observed data. So this, for me, falls into that category. However, it's also very similar to concept 1.1,
right,
which is that the distribution of the underlying population is distinct from the distribution of the sample statistic. So here, the question here, now I would tend to think that maybe 4.3 is less a distributional question, a concept, and more of a sampling distribution concept.
What's category 4?
Distributional thinking.
Category 4 is distribution.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I was looking at a thing with sampling distributions and getting confused, so.
Yeah, well, that's why I wanted to go to this question first, because it's meant to be a sampling distribution question. But when I looked as the way we currently have outlined what do we need to know for sampling distributions, and what do we know for distributional thinking? Question 16 speaks to me more as a interpreting a graph and distinguishing between the distribution of a sample of data and the sampling distribution.
Can you remind me which main numbers in the table below correspond to which category?
So 1.1 to 1.5 are sampling distribution. 2.1 to 2.3 is sampling.
Okay.
3.1 to 3.4 is variability. And 4.1 to 4.3 is distributional thinking.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Sure. So I guess what I'm getting at here, the first one I wanted to look at was question 16 on purpose, because we intend that to be a question on sampling distribution, but I feel like it falls more in the way we have concepts defined for distributional thinking. So if you look at concept 4.3, I guess my question is, do you think that concept 4.3 is more a distributional concept or more a sampling distribution concept?
It's clearly both. Maybe as we're talking about distributional thinking, we shouldn't have it that specific that it would be the distinction between populations and sampling distributions, because that clearly goes into the category one. But if we just talk about shapes of distributions, being able to interpret what the axes mean and so forth, that's more interpreting the distribution.
That's kind of how I'm inclined to think the same way, is that when we talk about the distinctions between the sampling distribution and the distribution of a sample of observed data, that we could put that up into sampling distribution concepts rather than distributional concepts.
Right. I was just looking at the section on distributional thinking. And
Because it's very much like item 1.1.
Yeah, exactly. I still can't hear you very well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm moving away from my. I've got the speakerphone on because I'm over at the computer.
That's better.
Okay, fine.
So, Tisha, go ahead. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
So, with the distributional thinking section, so concept 4.1. is mechanical, reading and interpreting graphical displays, etc. 4.2 is finding those characteristics like shape, center, and spread. And then I think what we were trying to get at originally was that there's also this conceptual aspect of a distribution, you know, just the idea, and I don't want to use the words again, but, you know, population, the distribution of a population is different from the distribution of a sample. And I think that we still should mention some piece of that as a prerequisite idea about sampling distributions, but I agree that as 4.3 is written right now, that it's getting very specific and maybe crossing over from being a prerequisite to understanding sampling distributions to just being part of understanding sampling distributions.
Yeah. I think we're definitely hitting the issue that a lot of these overlap a lot with each other.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, what you just said, Tisha, almost makes me think more sampling, right? I mean, if you're talking about the relationship between samples and populations,
you're right. Yeah, it is. It's so hard to separate these things.
You know, and so maybe the major contribution that we can make from this paper is the four of us putting our heads together and really trying to define these a little more clearly.
And here, in fact, in this particular question, we're not actually looking at a distribution of a population or a full distribution of a sample statistic. We're looking at an empirical distribution for one sample and one part of a distribution of a one part of a sampling distribution, which makes it tricky too. And I know in the lit review, something that you had written about, Tisha, was that sometimes creates confusion. It's this difference between sort of the theoretical distributions and empirical distributions as well.
Right.
I mean, I wonder if it's worthwhile our time for the entire call today to actually, you know, read through the table of concepts that, that's on that page right there, and then go mm-hmm. back, like Michelle did, and look over the suggestions of where you said to put each question in and make sure it makes sense to us, because I think that's a real crucial piece of the paper.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good to me. That's what I was hoping to do, so that would be ideal.
Yeah.
Well, should we start at the top?
Top of concept or top of the question?
Top of the concept.
Yeah, I think we need to do concepts first to make sure we're in agreement on what they are before we map
okay.
questions to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that makes sense.
So let's focus on 1.1 to 1.5 first, which are concepts that students should understand about sampling distribution.
Can I offer the suggestion that maybe we do sampling distribution last, because that kind of encompasses everything? And then
sure.
we cover the other topics first? And then sampling distribution can be what we haven't already discussed in the other ones, or make sure we're framing it in such a way that it's what we haven't already discussed.
We could, I think, go either way, although I think there is some benefit of looking at what the target is to make sure that the underlying things, in fact, are relevant to those targets. What is it that we want people to know about sampling distributions? And then
right.
we'll help us decide what, in fact, are prerequisite to that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
I mean, I think that's what you're saying is the way we framed it in the article, by starting with first sampling distributions, difficult concepts, this is what they need to know, and then saying this is what we think are the prerequisites so that they can get to the point where they know stuff about sampling distributions.
Right.
And we'd want to make sure each prerequisite, in fact, is linked to what we want them to know about sampling distributions then.
Okay. So should we start with section one then?
Sure.
What the heck? I don't think it really matters that much, but let's keep going. All right, so 1.1. Here what we're trying to do is make a distinction between the distribution of the sample statistic and the population. And the two distributions are different, and they may have different shapes. I like the way that one's phrased.
Yeah.
That one's pretty clear. Just right away say, okay, there's a distinction between these two. Now, potentially, here, should we then add a third part in there, which is that not just the population and the sample statistic, but a sample from the population? Is that distribution and underlying?
I didn't quite catch that. Say it again.
I'm trying to see if we should incorporate kind of what we've got in 4.3 into that, where we need to distinguish between the distribution between a population and the distribution of the sample statistics, the sampling distribution. And what I'm wondering is, should we have an intermediate step there, which is also distinguish between the distribution of a sample of observed data?
I'm trying to picture in
my mind the sampling distribution applet, where you see the underlying population, you draw a sample, you kind of see what that sample is, you calculate the mean, you drop it down, you add it
right.
to the...
Isn't that a sample?
Yeah, it's a sample. Yeah.
So wouldn't that fall under sampling?
Except here, instead of talking about we're talking about the distribution of that sample. We actually care about the distribution of a sample of observed data.
And the key point for students is to have that, see how the sampling distribution of the mean is different from both of those other distributions. You know, there are those three distributions that get confused altogether, I think. And one is the sample itself, and you know, and then the other is the population. And so maybe having all three of them, saying that one goal is to make, is that students should be clear on the difference between sampling distribution, the mean, and both the population a sample. I see all those. Now, whether we put that all in one statement or not, I'm not sure. Maybe, because I think that's the issue. These three distributions that are floating around, and maybe even a fourth distribution, which we haven't talked about, that can be confusing, and that is when you start generating a sampling distribution by drawing a few different samples, and then there's the full sampling distribution that you would have if you had all possible samples. And I think that question we're looking at, question 16, in fact, complicates things for students in a sense, because you don't really have the full sampling distribution there. You just have a sample of sample needs. Am I confusing things more than we should? But I think that's where the confusions come in, is you've got the four distributions, really.
Well, I would argue that the sample, the single sample that you take, is not a distribution.
Right.
You can generate a distribution from it, which could be confused with the sampling distribution. The language makes it sound like that's what it is.
I mean, you know, I think about the applet, which I just love. You know, and I definitely see the first graph is the sample that's drawn.
Right.
And then the second graph is the graph is the sampling distribution. And you know, Dale, your point's a good one, that it's technically 500 replicates or whatever you're doing, not the theoretical distribution.
I think that is often a source of confusion. And people think somehow you're drawing multiple samples and things. You know, and it is, I think, one of the things that really trips people up. Are very good intentions to explain this by drawing multiple samples, and they take that as part of the process then.
Michelle. Go ahead. Is that
no, go ahead.
When I read our 1.1 through 1.5, we've pretty much hiked that from Chan, Stamos, and Garfield, I believe, right?
Yes.
So now that we've just had this discussion, and I'm looking at 4.3, and it mentions distinguishing the sampling distribution from the distribution of a sample of observed data. So as I read that, to me, that's getting even to the point of when you're making inference using sampling distribution. If I need my students to understand that my sampling distribution is distinct from, when I read that observed data, that's, you know, what I get in my one shot in the real world, whatever study I conduct. And I want to know how the mean of that distribution, for example, relates, or is it extreme on my sampling distribution, things like that. So as I'm reading that now in 4.3, that as a prereq for understanding sampling distributions, I don't know if that's necessary yet. It gets to the point, again, understanding sampling distributions. Are we talking about using them to make inference as well? Do you guys see what I'm saying, or not at all?
Yeah, it seems that point by itself doesn't talk about making inferences on it, but I think your point that we want people to know how to use it to make inferences is really pretty important. That helps one make the distinction between them. You can see how you make inferences from that you can't from the sample.
Dale, you're fading again, Dale.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go off the speaker. Is this better?
Yes.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I was just thinking that the issue of being able to draw inferences from the sampling distribution is really the end point that we're after here. And we probably should, I think that is part of that's where we want to end up. And so the real question is, what does it take to get there? And we haven't talked about the inference part of this at all.
But, if we, as Michelle suggested in concept 1.1, make an additional statement about also distinguishing between sampling distribution and a sample of observed data. I think
instead of calling it a distribution, I kind of agree with Michael here that when you take one sample, it's not really a distribution, but we might say the shape of the sample of observed data. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced about what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, if you plot it out, you certainly have a distribution you can look at. But I mean, the problem is there are many, many different. Each sample gives you a different one.
I actually like, Tisha, the wording that you just used. I actually like, and maybe what we need to do is just make that another concept. Well, say again what you said, if you can recall it.
What I think is not mentioned in Chance Del Moss and Garfield's original table that maybe we could add here is that students should also understand that that sampling distribution is different from that sample of observed data. I don't know if that's what the statement.
Yeah, that's what basically you're saying. Take the second half of 4.3 and put it into the one point whatever groups.
I don't remember reading that anywhere in Chance Del Moss and Garfield's ideas of what it takes to understand a sampling distribution. And, you know, as I have all these thoughts rolling around in my head, again, when I teach, you know, I usually have this sampling distribution, and then we look at our observed data on that, but that's when I'm getting to the inference. But still, just to truly understand a sampling distribution, I think the students should know that that's not based on observed data.
So what if we frame it that way and say they should understand that the sampling distribution is based on a theoretical distribution,
right,
and the sample is based on an observed set of data?
I like that. And I'm not missing that in one of our earlier concepts, right? That wasn't there before?
No, we didn't have that. I think what you had written for 4.3 is the closest we get to it, but I like that wording. So,
Michael, did you just write that down too?
Yeah, so I wrote the sampling distribution is based on a theoretical distribution, while the sample is based on observed data. That probably needs refinement. But
maybe on one set of observed data.
Sampling
distribution is a theoretical distribution based on all possible samples, whereas a single sample is based on one set of observed data or something like that.
Yeah, something like that, and making explicit the point that it's not observable, you don't actually calculate it, and because I think people, if they think they can calculate it, it gets very confusing. I mean, if they think they can, generate it, because it is theoretical, the actual distribution.
Okay, so what if I frame it as the sampling distribution is a theoretical unobserved distribution based on all possible samples, while the sample is based on a single set of observed data?
That's pretty explicit.
Beautiful.
I don't like the sample. While the sample mean? Because we're only talking about sampling distribution of sample means here, we said, right?
Right.
Well, but the confusion that they have is the distribution of the sample itself from the distribution of sample means.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they won't confuse a single sample mean with a distribution.
So what if I take out a few words and say the sampling distribution is a theoretical unobserved distribution based on all possible samples, while the sample is a single set of observed data?
Yeah.
So I just took out while a sample. So instead of saying, well, a sample is based on a single set of observed data, I just said a sample is a single set of observed data.
I think that's good. Mm-hmm. Do we want to say that the sampling distribution is a distribution of means, though?
You know, I was reading through some of the other language we have. We are inherently, we stated this earlier, maybe we need to write it in the paper, I don't remember whether it was said anywhere, that when we talk about sampling distributions, we are specifically talking about sampling distributions of the sample mean.
Of
the
mean, yeah.
We did write it. It's in there, and it says that although instructors could certainly alter this to talk about the sampling distribution of the proportion rather than the mean. That's in one of the sections somewhere.
Yeah, one could say any statistic has a sampling distribution, but we're going to focus on the mean.
Right. I wonder if it's worthwhile. I think about the way I read articles where I kind of jump around to tables.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's worthwhile to reinforce that with like a subscript in the table.
Okay.
So that someone doesn't have to go just to one place to find that. That they can actually, you know, see it in you know, one or two other places. Because I think it is key that we reinforce that. What do you guys think? Is that overkill?
Good idea.
No, I don't think it's a little.
Although most courses just never do anything with any other sampling distribution, it seems, unless you do resampling. I just did a little resampling this morning. We talked about medians and things like that. But that's, I don't think typical courses do that.
Yeah, I think a subscript is a good idea.
Okay.
Okay, so should we go on to concept 1.2?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So that samples vary, and therefore sample statistics will vary. And the sampling distribution is the distribution of all possible sample statistics for a given sample size. So this kind of takes into consideration that there's variability in samples, and it's the first case. In the previous question, we don't talk about size at all. Now here we're talking about that you're going to have different sampling distributions, basically, if you're working with different sample sizes.
The first part really could fit under sampling, that samples vary and sample statistics will vary. The key point to the sampling distributions is that it's a distribution of all possible sample values of, I'd be a little careful about saying all possible sample statistics, mean, median, mode, standard deviation.
Maybe
that a little bit. What I'm suggesting is the first part we could put down into the sampling section and have the second part as the key point here, that the sampling distribution is the distribution of all possible values for a specific sample statistic or for samples. Fiddle with that. But it's one specific statistic, like the mean. It would simplify life if we just say we're going to just deal with the mean on all of this, and maybe even have that as a title. We're dealing with sampling distributions of the mean, and not have to worry about that. It might be other statistics that we're looking at.
Right.
Okay, so take out the first section of that sentence and possibly put that down at concept 2.2. Well, we have concept 2.2 is that random samples vary in a predictable way as a natural consequence of the sampling process. So maybe add to that, samples vary, and therefore sample statistics.
That sure goes
I actually think we could separate those and really, you know, if we think about designing assessment items that test each one, they're different concepts that we could test.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's nice to say samples vary, therefore sample statistics vary. That's one statement. Mm-hmm. Then the next one, 2.2, says they vary in predictable ways.
That's true. They're distinct.
I agree with that. Students don't always see that it's going to happen in a predictable way.
Yeah, but the first step is to see that you can get different results with different samples. Yeah. Okay.
So the question is, I guess when we talk about our prerequisites in sampling, we're not really necessarily talking about sample statistics that much, right? We're just talking about sampling in general, that samples vary. Do we want to use the idea of sample statistics already in the sampling section? Well, yeah, we do, because...
I think so.
2.3, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Okay. So we take this first part of 1.2 and make it like a 2.2B. I don't know what you say that name.
Or we can have an extra point. Yeah, 2 points. Get down to 2.4.
Yeah, I think we should. I think what we should do is call it 2.4 and then maybe consider reordering them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
To maybe saying number one, random samples are representative of the population from which they're drawn. Then number four, samples vary and therefore sample statistics will vary. Then number two, random samples vary in predictable ways. And then number three, the sample statistic is random while the population parameter is fixed.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay. Are we ready for 1.3?
Mm-hmm. So 1.2 we've now reduced to the sampling distribution as the distribution of all possible samples for a given sample size.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have to say all. What is it that we're distributing, though? And I'm suggesting that we might say sample means, right?
Instead of
all possible sample means, okay.
Yeah, because all the possible sample statistics brings out the idea of means, medians, modes, standard deviations, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a funny distribution.
Oh, right, although when I did that, I actually took out the word statistics. So I read it as the sampling distribution is the distribution of all possible samples for a given sample size. Technically, you're right. It should say the sampling distribution of the sample mean is the distribution of all possible sample means.
That would be more explicit.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe we'll do that. And you know what? If we actually do that once in a while, maybe we don't need the footnote to reinforce the fact that it's the means because we are restating it a couple times.
Yeah, because that clearly is our focus.
So the sampling distribution of the sample mean is the distribution of all possible sample means for a given sample size.
That sounds good.
You know, and again, think about reordering. That might be the first thing that we state as the sampling distributions.
That defines it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. First we define what it is, and then after that we say it's distinct from the distribution of the population.
Right.
Great. So I'm working on redoing this table. Maybe what I'll do when I'm done is just send out the entire table to you guys without the rest of the paper so we can look at it and make sure we're on board with it.
Okay.
But I think this is a fantastic discussion.
Yeah, this is one of our better, more focused discussions. Really a good idea to put this together this way.
Should we go to 1.3?
Sure.
I think this one should not elicit too much discussion. The mean of the sampling distribution is the mean of the population.
Yep.
Agreed.
Good?
I think so, yep.
All right, 1.4, the variation of sample statistics is predictable, and then we say how, as the sample size increases, the variability of the sampling distribution decreases.
Do you think we should be even more explicit with the exact relationship, or do we want to keep it at the broader conceptual level like this?
You mean like decreases by a factor of 1 over the square root of n or something like that?
Yeah, that kind of thing. And that makes it really explicit that it's not just vaguely predictable, but it's quite specifically predictable.
Yeah. What if we add that as a second sentence to that so that it's clear that that's what we're saying? But I mean, one of the things that I teach students, especially those who are less mathematically inclined, is that as the sample size increases, you get more precise.
Yeah, I think that's it, and putting it just in those terms almost is...
And they all get that, and then the next step is, and it's predictable because it changes by a factor of square root of n.
Yeah, like how precise.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So should I add? So it currently says the variation of sample statistics is predictable. As the sample size increases, the variability of the sampling distribution decreases. Should I add specifically... The variance, well, I don't like variance, the standard error, then we have to start introducing terms like that if we want. The standard error of the sample mean is sigma over the square root of n?
Yeah, standard error will be a new term here.
Right, and we've never even defined what sigma is, even though we all know it.
Yeah, standard error is the correct term, right? But people know standard deviation.
We could just say standard deviation of the sample mean instead of standard error. But still, I wonder if that just makes it too cumbersome.
Maybe.
The variation of sample statistics is predictable.
Yeah.
As the sample size increases, the variability of the sampling distribution decreases.
Yeah, maybe it is at this level fine to keep it at the more conceptual.
But when we actually do the questions, I'm trying to think of your sampling distribution questions. Do we actually ask them to use the fact that it's by a factor of 1 over the square root of n? Like, for example, in the one, I think there's samples of size 16 or something.
Mm-hmm. To answer that, I think
two choices there where one of them shows kind of that the you've reduced your variability by, you know, standard deviation is like one half of what it, or one fourth of what it was before, and there's another reasonable choice on there where it's, say, you know, half. I'm just trying to remember when we do our questions if we actually look at it in that much detail.
Well, if we just step back and say what we want people to know, I think we would like them to be able to make the distinction between the one where it's reduced by a factor of four versus a factor of two.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, what about, without saying the standard error and all that, what if we just said, added that the variability of the sampling distribution decreases, in fact, it decreases it decreases proportional to 1 over the square root of n or something like that, to avoid the getting into whether it's sigma standard error, standard deviation.
Right. I think something along that line would be useful to have. And again, potentially we could have that as another point following immediately the broad conceptual one, if we want to separate it. But what I think we do want to have is a goal that people will have that over the square root of n concept.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting because I like the idea of including it as part of this because I think it's a larger concept to know that it gets more precise as the sample size increases. And I'm not sure, it makes it a little cumbersome, but I'm not sure I would want the specific proportionality to be its own concept.
Yeah.
So
it's very much part of that idea.
Yeah, so maybe we do just fold it in and say something like specifically the decrease is proportional to the square root of n. Or is it the rate of decrease? What?
I don't know how to word it.
The increase in precision is proportional to the square root of n? Square root of the sample size?
Yeah, it's proportional to the increase.
Yeah.
Or just the precision.
The increase in precision, yeah, because you have decrease in variability or increase in precision, yeah.
Or we could just say the variability of the sampling distribution is in. Oh, do we want to include the population variance in there, too?
No.
Of course, it's a square root of n. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So what if I say specifically the variability decreases proportional to the square root of the sample size?
Yeah,
okay.
That sounds good.
Yeah, okay, except it wouldn't necessarily decrease it, depending on what n does, up or down.
But we said it says that the sample size increases.
Okay, the sample size increases. Yeah. Okay. The variability decreases.
What I just heard Dale say, too, I mean, could it start, maybe this is overkill, but a simple statement, in addition to the variation of sample statistics being predictable, the variation in sample statistics is smaller, or I don't know, you could say variability of the sampling distribution is smaller than the variability of the population. I don't know if that's...
You mean change the first part of that?
Well, I don't know if it needs to be changed necessarily, but Dale just mentioned, he said, we don't say anything about the population. And it's, you know, I've seen summaries of sampling distributions that just start out, when they're talking about the variability, the first thing they say is, look, there's less variability in your sampling distribution than there is in your original population. And, you know, you can talk with students intuitively about why that would be, and then you can show. So it's not just showing that as the sample size increases, that variability goes down, but it's also the formula alone. Unless the sample size is 1, you know, it's also showing you that you got less variability in general in your sampling distribution than the original population. But that might be overkill.
Yeah, but that general concept is really critical, that you have more precision with the mean than you do with the, than it looks like with the original sample. Variation is predictable.
What if we kept the first sentence as is, the variation of sample statistics is predictable, as the sample size increases, the variability of the sampling distribution decreases, and we just say in parentheses, you know, proportional to the square root of the sample size.
That'd be a simpler way to do it, yeah. In proportion to the square root of the sample size. Yeah, I think we don't want this to get too cumbersome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that sounds good to me.
Yeah, okay. Go with it.
So it now reads, the variation of sample statistics is predictable. As the sample size increases, the variability of the sampling distribution decreases, parentheses, proportional to the square root of the sample size.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's good working. This may be where we end up, but it's you know, good enough to go on, I think.
Do we need to say something like at a rate that's proportional to the square root of the sample size? Is it okay that it decreases? I guess it says it decreases proportional to the square root of the sample size.
Yeah, because I was thinking when you said proportional, I was thinking like in a manner proportional to that. Or...
So should we say at a rate?
Proportional to, sure.
At least write it in for right now.
Okay.
It just decreases in proportion to the square root of the sample size. Yeah, something.
Okay.
1.5?
Yeah.
Okay.
The shape of the distribution of the sample mean becomes normal if either the underlying distribution is normal or if the sample size is sufficiently large.
So I think we should probably change becomes normal to becomes normally distributed.
Mm-hmm.
The shape of the distribution of the sample mean.
Or we'd have to, in that place, you'd have to say the distribution of the sample mean. So the sample mean becomes normally distributed.
The shape of the... So what if I add sampling as well? The shape of the sampling distribution of the sample mean becomes normally distributed. Oh, the shape becomes normal. I see, that's right.
Or, yeah, well, one of the problems is if we say if the underlying distribution is normal, then there's no becoming normal. It's already normal no matter anything else.
Right.
If the sample size changes, then you got something becoming. But if... I don't, you don't
so what if we say the sample distribution of the sample mean is approximately normally distributed? Well, is at least approximately normally distributed, if not exactly?
Yeah. It's just it becomes normal. With the n changing, you can see how it's becoming. It's changing. But
right.
The underlying population doesn't become normal.
So what you're saying, you have to say the shape of the distribution is normal if the underlying distribution is normal, or becomes normal as the sample size, if the sample size is sufficiently large.
That would be more precise, I think. The shape of the distribution sample mean is normal if the underlying population is normal, distribution is normal, and it approaches normal as the sample size increases, yeah, or would be sufficiently large, or whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
Something, yeah. Get at it, I think.
Okay, so if I understood what you guys said correctly, the sampling distribution of the sample mean is normally distributed if the underlying distribution is normal or becomes normal if the sample size...
The underlying population distribution, yeah.
Underlying. Great. All right, let's try it again. The sampling distribution of the sample mean is normally distributed if the underlying population distribution is normal, or becomes normal if the sample size is sufficiently large.
Yeah.
Or should one say approaches normal rather than becomes normal? And again, theoretically.
Or approaches normal as the sample size.
What if we say rather than becomes normal? Well, I like the becomes because it talks about a gradual shift. I was going to say. We could say, or is approximately normal for large sample sizes.
Right. Well, yeah. I think the idea of it approaching normal is a good idea. That as the n changes, it gets bigger, it approaches normal. But I don't know if we say it becomes normal, it sounds like you become exactly normal. But
right.
That's actually never attained.
So you like the word approaches normal as the sample size becomes sufficiently large.
Yeah, or is the sample size... Okay, right.
The sampling distribution of the sample mean is normally distributed if the underlying population distribution is normal or approaches normal if the sample size is sufficiently large.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, it does it, I think.
I don't like the approach as normal.
Yeah, there's something in there. Yeah, but...
Or approaches a normal distribution.
Well, we could say that, too.
I think it's because it doesn't approach it if the sample size is large. It approaches it as the sample size becomes sufficiently large.
That's nice.
You approach it as something else is going on.
Yeah. I think that's really a key concept here, is that the role of the sample size and that.
As the sample size becomes sufficiently large, or as the sample size increases?
As the sample size increases,
That's simple.
Because it's approaching normal as the sample size increases. Once it's sufficiently large, it really is pretty much normal.
Yeah, right.
I'm having a problem about antecedents here with the OR. What if we break it into...
There's something that rang not quite right there.
What if we break it into two sentences?
Two sentences or a semicolon?
So what if we say the sampling distribution of the sample mean is normally distributed if the underlying population distribution is normal? Next sentence. The sampling distribution of the sample mean approaches a normal distribution as the sample size increases.
Regardless of the population distribution. Yeah. Regardless of the shape of the population distribution?
Regardless of the underlying distribution?
Well, and maybe just say the
population distribution.
The shape of the population distribution.
Okay. The second sentence now reads, the sampling distribution of the sample mean approaches the normal distribution as the sample size increases regardless of the shape of the underlying distribution.
Okay. The underlying might be a peculiar. And why not say regardless of the shape of the population distribution?
Hello?
Did we lose someone?
Oh, I'm here.
I think we lost Michelle.
Uh-oh. Well, let's see.
Let me just say this before you write too much out, and it's totally overkill. I'm sorry, but are we back in trouble again if we say regardless of the population, it approaches the normal? Because once again, if you start with the normal... You're not approaching a normal. I'm just wondering if it's easier for the second sentence. Because, Michael, does your first sentence say if the population distribution is normal?
The sample distribution of the sample mean is normally distributed if the population distribution is normal.
So then can the next sentence start out and say, basically, if it's not, if the population is not normal, then it approaches? Instead of saying for any distribution.
Technically right. And one could say regardless of its shape, but to start with the notion if it's not normal. If the population distribution is not normal, the sampling distribution of the mean approaches normal as the sample size increases. And do we have to say then regardless of the shape? Maybe not, because we've already said.
All right. Let me try reading what I have.
Yeah.
The sampling distribution of the sample mean is normally distributed if the population distribution is normal. For any population distribution, the sampling distribution of the sample mean approaches a normal distribution as the sample size increases.
Well, yeah, Tisha's point would be, if we say for any population distribution, she's saying, well, if it's already normal, then it doesn't approach normal, so it's there. Is that right, Tisha?
Yeah, and it's not a huge deal.
So should I say for other population distributions?
Yeah, right. I think that would cover that point.
No, and I think you're right. We want to hammer these, because our hope is that people will start referencing this as the Bible of well-defined thing. But I think it's really crucial to be really specific. So okay, it currently reads, the sampling distribution of the sample mean is normally distributed if the population distribution is normal. For other population distributions, the sampling distribution of the sample mean approaches a normal distribution as the sample size increases.
I think that's clean.
Yeah, that's nice. I think that does it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, I wonder if Michelle will find her way back here.
We could go on, though, I suppose, and then catch her up, and she can listen to the recording, too.
Okay. Just a little heads up, but it's actually almost 5 o'clock East Coast time.
Oh, my gosh.
Time flies when you're being productive.
Yeah. I'm going to have to leave within a minute.
And I have office hours at 5, so I don't know if students are coming or not, but I probably should be available to that. Do we want to spend a few minutes and try and work through some of the rest of them? Or?
Well, we maybe should decide on a time to reconvene, too.
Okay. Can I make a bold suggestion and say maybe we meet next week?
Yeah.
Because I think this is really a great discussion, and I'd love to have it sooner rather than later, so we're really well prepared for JSM.
Yeah.
I think that is a great suggestion.
Yeah. Does the same time work for everybody?
I'm just looking right now, and it's our finals week, so my schedule is different next week. I better make sure I don't book.
Yeah. yeah, next week's actually not so great for me, but can we do it in 2 weeks? May 11th?
That would work for me. But
is that too far into the future?
We're really pretty hot here. Boy, I don't know. This has been pretty productive. I hate to let go too long. But putting us in a grand scheme of...
Well, I mean, I can't do it next Tuesday. I can do it next Monday if we wanted to.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle, you back?
Hey, you guys, I'm back. I'm calling you from my phone now. My internet just went, so I'm not sure what the story is.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
Let's keep it short. The story is it's an hour, and some of us have commitments.
Okay.
That we have to go to, even though we feel like it's been an amazingly productive discussion.
Yeah, we're working on having another meeting soon rather than later. Sooner rather than
okay.
later.
Okay. To continue this discussion.
Yep. And
are you guys free next Monday if we were to do it then?
Monday? Yeah,
I'm free Monday, yes.
That is Monday the 3rd.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, that would work for me. Same time.
Yep, 4 Eastern. Let me make sure I get my calendar correct. Okay.
Great.
Monday the 3rd, 3 Central, correct?
Hello?
3 Central, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Hi, Michelle.
Uh-oh, now my regular phone is going.
Hello?
Yep, we can hear
you. Hello?
Yep,
can
we hear
you.
We can hear you.
Okay.
Okay, so Monday, May 3rd, same time. Okay, and in the meantime, then, Michael, you maybe send out what notes you have on this?
Sure. I'll send out the table as I have it
now. I don't know what's going on, you guys, but I really can't hear you. But if you make the call for Monday the 3rd, that's good for me. I can do it any time in the evening at all, so 3, 4, whatever time is good. If you can just send me an email, that would be great.
Okay, We'll do that.
Yep.
All right. Hopefully she heard
that. Bye, everybody. Bye.
All right, so I'll send out the table. I rename things rather than 1.1. I call it like SD1 and SD2.
Okay.
For sampling distributions, in my mind, that was easier to remember which one was which.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, I know. That's something we can fiddle with a bit. We could have a footnote or something, but that maybe works better.
Yeah, I mean, that's really just for my thinking right now. I don't know how we want to do it later, but.
Right.
I mean, realistically, I'm not sure we need to produce a second table of this because we've already will have presented it in separate tables when we introduce the concepts because these are just a copy of what's earlier in the paper.
I guess that's true.
In any case, we can work through that later, but I'll send out the table of what I have so far.
Okay, and then you've got a new date on the document and we're all set.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks,
everybody.
Dale, you'll set the conference call up with Gene?
I'll get on that right away.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, all everyone.
Thank
great
you.
Meeting.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.